Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show. My name is Mary Hollis, and I'm your host and a director of the Next Chapter Widows Ministry, a ministry embracing widows and others who have also lost a special loved one. Tonight we are on part two of the six-week session of grief, Journeying Through Grief. And we are using the book written by Kenneth Hall, and he's the CEO and president of Stephen Ministry. And the name of we are using part two and book three, Finding Hope and Healing, Journeying Through Grief. Last week we talked about, how long does grief last? Share, don't compare. Talking is healing. And tonight the three topics we're going to talk about is dealing with anger, letting go of guilt, and coping with loneliness. Dealing with anger. How many of you were angry with God when your loved one died? Well, I was angry. I was very angry. But later, as I went through the journey of grief, God showed me and convinced me that this was going to turn into good. Not everyone experiences anger during grief, but many do in some ways and at some point. Feeling angry, even to the point of rage, is quite common. After all, someone you love has been taken away. Who wouldn't be angry about that? Anger likes to hide, be buried or covered up. So sometimes we are not even aware it's there. But anger, that stuff away won't remain hidden forever. When it breaks out, it may catch you by surprise. And I am sure that some of you have experienced that. Possible target of anger. Death itself or the illness that took the loved one. Those you might feel are responsible for the death. Medical personnel, a hospital. I have heard all of those. Family members and friends for what they said or did, especially if we think that they let us, our loved one down. A quote by a written author says, "One bold message in the book of Job is that you can say anything to God. Throw at him your grief, your anger, your doubt, your bitterness, your betrayal, your disappointment. He can absorb them all. He's right there listening, and he's there with you as you go through this journey of grief. Anger at the one who died. I was angry with my husband when I got to the hospital. My husband loved he loved to cook, and he loved to eat also. And he loved breakfast food, and he loved the sausage, the eggs, and all that stuff. And he didn't eat the best. He ate a lot of things that was not healthy. But when I got to the hospital, I didn't realize that he was already gone. And when I got to him, I started somewhat yelling, not yelling hard, aloud. I started saying, "I told you to eat better. I told you to stop eating like that," because they told me that he had had a heart attack. So I was angry because I felt that because of the way that he was eating, that caused the heart attack. So I became very angry that he allowed this to happen, and here he was gone. So, yes, I was angry, but when I realized that he had no idea that he had a heart disease. So I'm glad that I did get an autopsy, because I knew really why, what happened to him. But I was angry when I got to the hospital because I thought it had a lot to do with his eating habits. He wasn't a big and overweight. It's just that the stuff that he ate, I thought maybe became caught up with him. And I'm sure you have different reasons if you became angry too. But, yes, I was angry. And you may have said, "Why did you do this to me?" And pretty much I had some of those comments. But I guess that was the best way of me expressing my emotions of getting angry with someone. And later I did get angry with God for allowing this to happen so soon in my marriage. We only was married for 6 years. So I had that anger within me. I was angry first with my husband, and I became angry with God later. And a father said, in this situation, "I felt angry for a long time before I realized I was really angry at my son. He was behind the wheel. He was the one who was speeding, but he was also the one who died. I felt terrible for being so angry with him." Anger at ourselves. Anger with God. Why wasn't God there? Why does God allow things like this to happen, and also the suffering of a loved one? No matter how hard you beat up against God's chest, God's loving arms are waiting to embrace you. And Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be there with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So God is letting you know right there that he will, even in spite of the situation, how you feel, he will still be there for you. He will have open arms waiting to embrace you and get you through this time in your process of grief. How to deal with your anger. Anger is a tough emotion to deal with, but you can learn to deal with your anger so that it doesn't tie you up into knots. Getting good and angry can be good for you and help you grieve. Also, that good cry, it's good to let all of that out. Let those water flow. One day it's going to dry up. Keep letting it flow, but you will have a day where it will dry up and you will be able to think about him or her without crying. Recognize your anger. Accept your anger. Anger is a normal response to loss. Express your anger by unexpressed anger can build up until it erupts. Anger that we keep bottled up even could cause health problems. Yes, it's not good to hold it inside. It's important that you do release it. And it's good to talk to someone because as you talk to a faith person, a person that you feel comfortable in releasing your feelings, it does help. So don't let it all bottle up and erupt. Find ways to let your anger out so that it won't injure you or others. One good way is by talking, just like I mentioned, by talking or writing about your anger. Another good way is sharing your anger with a healing person, a faith person, someone who can handle it. As I talked about before, that faith person is always important, someone that you can feel confident and knowing that they would not, they would listen more than make comments. They will be more positive, and it's also good to have someone that is spiritual because they can help you with some spiritual and inspirational advice. And journaling is a very good thing. Many of you are journaling, so it is a good thing to do. It releases your feeling into writing, and then whenever, maybe months and months later, you can go back to the journal and read some of the things that you read, or even writing a letter to your loved one, releasing your feelings, or telling that person what you felt, or saying goodbye to that person because you didn't have the opportunity to say goodbye. Let your feelings into a pretty journal or a letter to that loved one, releasing your feelings. It does work, and it will help. Letting go of guilt. Have any of you experienced guilt? Well, would you blame yourself or someone having caused or not prevented the death? Many deeply regretted words they would say are deeds they would have done while the person was still alive. Guilt is often, we sometimes blame ourselves often without knowing it in any way that makes no sense. Guilt is often buried inside. One woman discovered she was blaming herself for her sister's final heart attack. And you know why she was built up guilt within her? Because she was a nurse. she felt that she could have helped and saved her sister. But when God has the time for you to go, there's nothing that you can do. So she felt guilty and hurt for a long time because she felt that she could have saved her her sister. Now, another situation, too. My husband was a fireman. And you know that they have paramedic and they have all the skills of saving individual. And my husband was getting ready to get off that morning. And they had went in, most of the guys went into another room because they have two TVs. And my husband was in another room by himself. And when they came into the room, they saw that my husband had a heart attack. And they felt guilty for quite some time because they felt that they were in that same room with him. They could have saved him, which they tried to save him, giving him CPR until the ambulance came. They felt guilty that they could, if they were just in that same room with him, they could have saved him because they were very close to him. They became very friends, most of the guys there. So they felt guilty for a long time. So there's certain circumstances that causes you to feel guilty. Guilt often arises out of unrealistic expectation. A single man, a single mom who worked full-time had a daughter who died as she struggled with the loss. Despite her own grief and many responsibilities she was bearing, she still expected herself to be that perfect mother and daughter. So she felt she struggled with the that her daughter had passed away. Guilt can distort the fact. Guilt is usually over things we cannot change. Even though the guys, the other firemen was there, they felt that they would have been able to save him. That wasn't, God has had his time for my husband to go. So even though they felt guilty, guilt is usually over things sometimes that we cannot change. Guilt is only supposed to be temporary emotions, a warning signal alerting us that something may be wrong and may need to be corrected. Guilt isn't designed to be permanent. Here are ways that we can get rid of guilt. Identify and admit your guilt. Talk about your guilt. Write about your guilt. You see where this comes up a lot, writing about your guilt, releasing your feelings. God does not require a pure heart before embracing us. Recognize your human feelings. Now, this is a biggie. Forgiving yourself. God's forgiveness sets us free from guilt. God forgives us. Sometimes we may have difficulty forgiving ourselves. That is a big, out of all, that's one of the big ones, forgiving yourself. Forgive yourself and move on. Also, to ask God for forgiveness. Asking God to forgive you for the things that you may have said at the beginning to him. That wasn't very pleasant, but it's human. It's normal. It's a normal, necessary, natural thing for one to do. Pray for the sincerity prayer. God grant me the sincerity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As you continue to walk through journey, the process of grief, you will get to feel that way again. Remember the good that you did. Letting go of grief is the key to your healing. Now we're going to talk about coping with loneliness. One of the most difficult experiences is the loneliness of grief can be very overwhelming. And I'm sure that you had probably some moments during the holiday season. Lonely because he or she was not there. The things that y'all did together, shared together, was very lonely because that loved one was not there. One of the most difficult times is during holidays. Holidays, birthdays, anniversaries. You face constant reminders of his or her absence. An empty bed, a vacant room, a piece of mail with your loved one's name on it, an empty place at the table. Yes, eating alone, where you used to be cooking for two, and now you're only cooking for one. An empty feeling when Mother Day comes around or Father Day comes around. These are natural feelings. Loneliness is a part of the grief landscape. Our loved one is gone. We miss their company. We miss the conversation. We miss the presence. One woman who always complained when her son left his socks lying around the house and said she missed those socks after he died. Jesus promised that he will never abandon us, that he will not leave us like orphans. He promised he will never leave us or forsake us. He will do just that. During grief, we need some time for solitude. And sometimes we need to be alone, just by ourselves and God. We need time when we can rest, reflect on the loss, and gain some emotional energy. But we also need the company of other people because isolation can lead to despair. Accept an invitation to lunch from a friend. Call someone you know who may also have experienced a loss. Visit a grief support group, just like you're on the air tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, write or call someone who sent you a meaningful card or letter. God is walking with you every step of the way, one day at a time. Taking steps like these will easily, for some people, harder for others. Don't push yourself into things you are not ready to do, like taking your loved one clothes out of the closet. Don't rush. Take your time. Because if you quickly do it and you make quick decisions, sometimes you regret. Do not make any major decision within 6 months to a year, because it gives yourself time to know exactly what you're going to do. When you make quick decisions, so most of the time you will regret because you haven't had to really think about what you just did. So don't push yourself into things you're already not ready to do. But at the same time, don't hold yourself back. my second book, the ministry have written two books. In the last one, it says, "O Lord, what am I to do?" Well, one of the paragraphs I would like to read: in due season, you will be able to accept what has happened and begin to go forward with the next chapter of your life. Spend time with family and friends to bring joy and laughter back in your life. This will help you when you are feeling lonely and depressed. There is no right or wrong way to grieve, but it's also important when it becomes very unhealthy. You're not eating, you're not sleeping, and it's causing health problems. Please seek help, professional help. I hope that the next chapter of Widow's Ministry, I hope that these sessions that I have been doing, this is going into the third month, that are very helpful to you. It's not an easy thing to go through, to lose a loved one, and he's no longer or she's no longer there. It is very difficult, lonely, but just knowing that God is right there with you. The first thing that he did, he introduced you to the next chapter, Widow's Ministry. And we hope that we will be able to continue to embrace you and walk with you as you go through the journey of grief. Continue to tune in each week. And next week, let me go over the three topics that we're going to talk about next week. We will talk about mentioning your loved one's name. Many of you do not want to even to have the name of a widow. You don't want to say, I don't want to be a widow. I want my husband back. I don't even want to mention his name because I don't want to think that he's no longer here. So one of the topics is mention your loved one's name. The next topic is knowing when, and what about prayer? Because prayer is power. It changes things. It doesn't matter how difficult in your feelings that you're going through. God is your present in time of trouble. Just make sure that you stay in prayer. Find yourself a prayer partner that you can always pray with. And just knowing that just take one day at a time. And just knowing that the next chapter, Widow's Ministry, will be in prayer with you. And continue to tune in again each week from 10 to 10:30 p.m. But I have two announcements before you go off the air. We have two more minutes to go. The announcement is trip. We are going to the Biltmore Estate from June 18th to the 20th this year. And the first payment is due now. You have until the end of the month. The only thing, if you wait until the end of the month, you'll have another payment a few weeks after. So please contact me, and I can email a flyer to you, or I can give you information regarding the trip. The other thing is, we are on during Valentine's. This particular holiday, Valentine, we're going to paint and sip studio, where you paint an artwork, and then we're going to have food there, and also sparkling cider and so forth. So I hope that you can be a part of it. It is $20 per person, so I'll be getting a total of a number of people that will be in attendance later on. But I wanted to mention it to you. That's going to be February 16th from 1:30 to 4 p.m. That's on a Saturday. So I hope that you'll be able to come to that. We have a great time. We raise roses and different things just to let you know that we are there for you and to give you some things that your husband our family might normally give to you during the Valentine's holiday. So that is all I have for tonight. Tune in again next week, and be blessed, and have a great week. Good night. I am going to play Travis Green, Made Away.
Our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over.